You're listening to the Print Life Podcast. I'm Leslie Kinahan, owner and creative director at White Buffalo Studio and founder of the Print Life community. This podcast was created to offer insight into the hidden world of print design. If you're a surface pattern or print designer who wants to attract dream clients, increase sales, and build a sustainable business that you love, you're in the right place. With over a decade of experience, I'll be covering all things surface pattern and print design, sales, marketing, and mindset to support designers in growing a creative business. Whether you're freelance, in-house, or just getting started, I've got you covered. Welcome to the Print Life. Hello, everyone. You're listening to another episode of the Print Life Podcast. And today, I'm so excited to share with you an interview I had with Rebecca Woolbright. Rebecca is a surface pattern designer with a unique story who has found success creating her own products. She has a love for all things colorful and finds her inspiration in nature. She's also a fellow teacher who shows her students how to get started in manufacturing. Let's dive in. Hi, Rebecca. Welcome to the Print Life Podcast. I'm so excited to have you chatting with me today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Before we dive in, I like to always ask just like a quick intro, who you are, what you do in the industry, to give everyone a quick background on you.
Well, my name is Rebecca, and I started my business about 8 years ago as a product-based business. Started with washi tape, which was and still is my love. And then grew my product line. And as I did that, I started to get more comfortable with the idea of licensing my artwork. But I really wasn't that comfortable in the beginning. So I kind of was testing my artwork on my own product to see how it would be received. And then after I started licensing my artwork and manufacturing my own products, I had a lot of people asking me how I did that. And then I started to teach how to source products and other tools I use to help my workflow in my business.
Nice. I love that. I love hearing kind of the evolution of how people end up doing what they're doing now. So this is something else I like to ask because it tends to be different for every single surface pattern designer. But when you started out, like in school back when you got started, was it always your intention to create art or to be on the surface pattern design path, or did you land here by chance?
Oh, this was totally by chance. I mean, I've always taken art classes whenever possible in school. I took ceramics all through college, and then just anything to be doing art was always my go-to. But I never thought about it as a livelihood, which is weird because my dad is a self-employed jeweler, and so I grew up with that as like an option. But being a goldsmith didn't translate into the art that I was creating. And then I went down a long decade of doing massage work in Hawaii, and I had a beach rental business there. And I really stumbled into surface pattern design with our business because we needed somebody to make wrap cards for all the resorts, how you can go and pick up all the activity cards in the lobby. So we were trying to hire someone, and then I was like, I could just make this. I know I could do that, which is now looking back, I'm like, oh my gosh, why did I think I could do that? But I dove in. I found the Creative Live class with Bonnie Christine was the first introduction to Adobe Illustrator. And I just fell in love with the idea of it. But again, washi tape was easy because it was only the repeat on the left and right side, not the full repeat. And so it was right. Kind of a perfect beginner project with my artwork.
Awesome. So Creative Live, I don't know much about it, but I've heard about it. Is it like a Skillshare type of platform that has courses on it?
It is. I haven't, you know, really from that one class, I don't know if I've done another one. But I think you could pay by the class. Okay. And so you didn't need a membership like Skillshare. It was just...
So when you dove in, you just learned Illustrator, you kind of created some art, you started playing with it on products to see what it would look like, and then those products started selling?
Yeah.
You started selling them yourself?
I sold them myself on Etsy and my website, and I knew the wholesale model from having our business. but I was on the other side of it. So I was ordering from like O'Neill and Billabong and Volcom and like all these bigger companies. So I was trying to like reverse engineer how to do that. And still, I got kind of lucky. I was like, I created this really funny postcard that had my washi tape designs on it. And I sent it out to my dream stores, like we're told to do with pitching too. And this amazing stationery store on Oahu, that's a Japanese stationery store, picked up my line, but they had to call me. Like it went to spam. I never saw it. And then I was like, oh my gosh, really? And they bought like half of my stock, which meant that I actually made profit. So I was it was so great. And I mean, we're talking about washi tape. So maybe I made like $30. It wasn't like incredible margins, but I was like, wow, they wanted it. And so then that just kind of kept building.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, I think when we create something and put it out into the world, it's not about the money anymore. It's about it's like that validation or proof of concept that we're seeking to continue to have the confidence to keep doing it, right? To keep doing it again and again and again.
Yeah. I mean, it was really terrifying because I had never put anything out there. And I mean, they were really simple designs in the beginning. It was a rainbow. I mean, I was based in Hawaii, so it was a rainbow and a whale that I had actually carved out of like a lano cut. And then like one that I had hand lettered that said Aloha. And I was like, I have no idea, but I still had my day job. So I was like, if these just flop, it's going to be okay.
So I have to ask, because I want a little bit more background on what you did in Oahu. What was the business that you had there? I'm just curious.
Well, I was actually based on Maui. And so it's still there. It's called Waterwork Sports and it's on Napili Bay. And we would rent snorkels and boogie boards and anything for the beach. We rented it. And then we also had a lot of retail for like sun shirts, XL shirts, board shorts. And one of my partners and I, there were three of us, we are both very active in the outrigger paddling community. And so we knew we wanted to build like something for local people and something for tourists that could be combined. And so we sold paddling equipment. And
I love that.
Yeah.
So the beginning of your story was kind of pitching for the first time and getting some pretty good feedback on that pitch.
Yeah.
And then where did you go from there? Did you just keep, was that kind of like what piqued your interest to dive into creating your own products? Or did you stick with the same thing again and again for a while? What did that look like?
That's a good question. I kept making washi tape designs because that's really addicting after you start. And then simultaneously, I had my first baby. And so this has always been growing at what seems like a snail's pace, because I'm just like working during his nap time and whenever I could get a chance. And he wasn't a great sleeper, so it made it really hard. So then I started to look at my numbers, and because washi tape is so inexpensive and it sells for $5 a roll, I was just like, wow, if I'm going to even make like $50,000 a year, I'm going to have to sell so much washi tape. And so then I decided to try making a full repeat design and putting my designs on spoon flour and getting the material printed. And then my mom offered to sew me tea towels. Huh. And this was before you could have them like already made. I think you can do that on spoon flour now. So my dear mom, she used to be a seamstress and she had her own shop before I was born. And so I was like, okay, let's do this. And so she made about 50 tea towels just sewing the hems. And I had like six designs and they all sold out within like 2 weeks. And I had, which was amazing. That was like, oh, holy moly, this is actual profit now. And then I looked at my mom. She's like, okay, we'll order more and I'll do it again. And we did it one more round. And then I said, this is just not going to work. Like, I want to go from like this level and go up a little bit more, mom. And you're not going to keep up because I want you to babysit is what I want you to do. I don't want you to be sewing. I want you to watch my son. So then that's when I started sourcing more overseas and trying to find better margins for my tea towels. And then I kept pitching my line to stores and slowly started to build into more stores. Mm-hmm. And then I just, in the last couple of years, have added wrapping paper and gift boxes and gift tags and just keep going.
Nice. And just for context, when you say, first of all, because tea towels, I remember when tea towels were like the thing with surface pattern designers and getting your stuff out there. And maybe it was when they were printing them for you. I don't quite remember, but I remember some people printing them themselves. What year was this, roughly, that you began this journey?
This was probably about 6 years ago.
Okay. And then when you say pitching, you mean product, not mm-hmm. the design, or about yeah. the product. So you want to get your products out there in the store, which is probably even more of a undertaking, because then do you have inventory?
Yes, I carry all my inventory. And so it's a similar to creating a licensing portfolio where you have all of your products listed in a wholesale catalog and mm-hmm. you still want SKUs and you still want, you know, information on how they can work with you. And then you just are, yes, pitching emails a lot and doing a lot of research on stores that you think would be a good fit.
Nice. Yeah. And did you finally like start to get some momentum and things working out there?
Yeah, it took a long time. And I was really winging it. I just hadn't learned from anybody how to do that. And so then I found some great mentors who have definitely taught me so many things. And it was like, oh, there's so much for like follow-up, like any industry. The first emails open and they're like, yeah, great. And then if you keep pushing them, you're like, oh yeah, this, we remember her. And so then I started to create like a consistent pitch schedule for stores. And then, yeah, that started to get the ball rolling. And now I'm in over 150 stores, but it's
wow. Good for you. Congrats.
Yeah. Thank That's you. Awesome.
It's such a different industry that I'm not used to, you know, like I was an in-house designer and I remember having to show line sheets to buyers and then mm-hmm. order enough for them. And then sometimes you'd have extra and fulfillment and all the things, but never like your own, like what a wonderful feeling to create a product and have somebody go, yeah, we're going to carry that in our store. And that's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It is a really awesome feeling. It's very gratifying because it's different because now that I'm pitching both for licensing and wholesale, it's a little bit of a disconnect with your artwork in some ways because it can be used on a variety of things. And so sometimes you don't have the control over that. But when someone's like, yes, we want your product and you get the money and they're going to put it in your store and somebody else is going to buy it and you can see the whole process, whereas licensing can take so long and I don't know. I feel like it's a little bit different, the pitch.
Yeah, I was thinking about something when you said you just have to do it again and again, because I often hear, as much as I love teaching and I love the idea of taking everything you've already been through and sharing it with others to help them get there faster. There is something to be said for going through it yourself and learning these things yourself. Mm-hmm. It's such a process. But what I hear a lot from designers is, you know, I pitched a few times and nobody, I don't know if this is working, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember the exact number, but I think it's something like 15 touch. Like how many times does somebody have to see something before they actually like it clicks and they want to buy? I think it's like 15 or something.
It is some number like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So seven. I feel like that persistence mm-hmm. of like, again, and it not feeling like you're not bothering them. You are just, you're driving your business mm-hmm. and that's what it takes sometimes.
Yeah. And I mean, even to touch on that a minute, like I used to pitch some stores that were just dreams that were like, oh my gosh, this would be amazing. And like 4 years later now they order and I'm still like euphoric for each one. I had an order come in last week and I was like, I remember pitching them, but that was so long ago. And it's the same for licensing too. It's like things come back around as long mm-hmm. as you're consistent with that.
Yeah, I feel similarly with fashion print design. Like you have clients that like you for a while and then they find another studio and then they come back and then they're over here and then they come back. Just depends on what they're looking for, really. Mm-hmm. Now kind of jumping over into the work that you put out there for licensing. Do you feel like the artwork you're creating is for similar products that you're also putting out into the world? Or does it give you a space to like play with some other ideas for other types of products?
I definitely play a little bit more, but I'm still very much in like the home gift area. A lot of my designs are on tea towels, other businesses' tea towels. And then we were talking about wallpaper. And so it's fun to like watch it play out, but not a lot of stationery.
So mostly in the home space,
yeah,
you would
that's
say.
My space.
Do you find for licensing, I ask everybody who comes on about this, who's in that world, because I'm so disconnected from that world. Do you feel like when you create or when you're researching or putting together a collection, like you have that end use in mind when you're developing a licensing collection?
I think at the beginning, I didn't ever think about it. And now it took a long time to get to a place that I am like, I should really be thinking about that. Because at first, there's so many people that are like, just keep creating, you know, like you need to create a certain number of pieces. And there's all these ideas floating around. And so it's like, okay, I'm going to just put my head down and make a lot of work. But then you're like, but wait, none of that can go anywhere. Like it just was work that I really liked making. And so now I think I'm at a place where I'm trying to create work that I really like, but can mm-hmm. see at an end place and mm-hmm. have a little bit more intention behind what I'm doing. So I'm not just spinning my wheels.
I definitely believe in that. And it works in fashion. I would assume it's the same across the board, but I always ask that question because I feel like I hear a lot when, you know, we're on social media. As soon as we start looking at certain things pop up for us. So we kind of see what everyone's talking about and doing all the time. And I do often see that like, design, just keep creating and it can go on anything and it doesn't matter. And as long as you love it. And I love that. I love that, like create the work you love, but mm-hmm. with the intent of knowing that it's going to work for somebody else. Sometimes I feel like we miss out on potential clients, potential sales and opportunities when we don't somehow work the client into our thought process, right?
Yeah.
Like providing a value and a service to them.
I took your class that happened a couple weeks ago. It was like, I guess, the first 2 weeks of your bigger class. And it was refreshing because you put it in a way that was like, here's what you love, here's what they need, and how do they overlap? And I was like, that's what I've been trying to like connect in my head a little bit. And just to have that intention behind what you're creating, but still have it be in line with what you like to create.
Yeah, I think that that's often the missing piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
For licensing, since it gives you kind of this opportunity to pitch in a different way, do you have to kind of segment out your year? What does your kind of schedule look like when you're designing for these two kind of very different, not very different, but kind of different revenue streams, right?
Yeah, they're very different. It's hard. It's a hard year to juggle. I'm just figuring it out. I really am figuring it out. So there's like a big product push for wholesale in January and July with Fair Market, which is a big wholesale platform that I'm on. But that means that you have to like rewind your schedule 3 or 4 months before that to have your product ready so you can start listing it and it's ready to go for wholesale. So like the idea station starts 4 months before January. So like fall, I'm thinking, okay, what's going to launch for spring? And that's all product. And then again, in January, everyone then is like, oh, what's for holiday for licensing? And so you're starting to have to go backwards. It feels like whatever we're just coming out of, that's when you need to be creating that work. And you're like sick of seeing a Christmas tree, but make another Christmas tree.
I hear a lot that if you can do holiday, like you can basically sell all year round. Is that still the case? Or is there specific times that you like to put aside for that?
I definitely like to create when I'm in the mood to create holiday. That's one of those, like I can create florals all day, but I don't know that that's the best use of my time. But it feels like January, there is a bigger push for holiday. Mm-hmm. And it's probably for like the following year.
Yeah. And because you do home mainly, it's probably not as much of that, right? Or what's kind of your main inspiration for developing prints for home?
Well, I'm obsessed with like symmetrical designs. So that's really my jam. But now I'm trying to create, like incorporate more interesting pieces into them instead of just being just a floral. Mm-hmm. I'm just always looking around outside. Like right now it's a perfect time. Things are just popping up all over the place that are a little bit more interesting than a flower, like little mushrooms mm-hmm. and things hanging out in the yard.
Well, I'm curious, like the evolution of, you know, you kind of start, I love like seeing that process that designers go through and where they land. So you began with the washi tape, you moved to tea towels, you got your stuff in some stores, which is awesome. Then you started licensing your art as well. Mm-hmm. Did you ever do like a trade show or find an agent, or did you just pitch and get your stuff out there on your own?
I have always just pitched and done it myself. I've thought about doing trade shows, but it felt, I don't know, there's kind of a mixed review on trade shows. I think that for licensing, they can still be beneficial, but I have now two small kids, and so it didn't seem manageable to tell my husband, I'm going to leave for a week and I'm going to go play in this world over here and you get to do the whole kid show. So I see more doing one for product versus licensing at this point. Yeah.
Is that kind of where your heart is if you had to choose, or do you love kind of balancing both of them together?
I love them all.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm like analyzing my business too to see where I'm spending my time and what is actually working. But I just love creating product. There's something really fun, the whole process start to finish.
Yeah. At what point in this process, in this journey, did you begin developing out teaching others courses and things like that?
It was really never on my radar. Ever. That just kind of makes me feel sweaty thinking about it. But I was a part of Stacey Bloomfield's membership, and it's called the Creative Powerhouse Society. And she had been just following along with my washi journey, and she's like, why don't you teach a 1-hour segment just about washi tape? It wasn't even like how to set up your files or anything. Just come in and talk about washi for an hour. And I was like, yeah, that sounds easy enough. And I did that, and it was so fun because you could, like, I've got received so many samples of different types of tape and what you can do. And I was just doing this show and tell, like just right up to the camera being like, and look at this and look at this. And I was looking at everyone on the Zoom and all their faces were like, whoa. And I was like, yeah. And it was just like this big hype squad for washi tape. And I was like, whoa, that was so fun when it was done. And it just hooked me in this little way that I was like, Yeah. And then I thought, well, maybe I could make a class on washi tape and put it on Skillshare and we'll just see what happens. And it's like a really niche class, right? Like you have to want to make washi tape. It's not something that's like, let's learn how to use Procreate. And there's like a bunch of classes you can choose from. So yeah. I started there and I felt like that was a massive achievement anyways to get it done. And then tea towels, everybody always wanted to know where I had my tea towels made. And so I started thinking about it. And for a while I was ordering for people, for other artists, like friends of mine, they would be like, hey, where'd you do this? And I was like, why don't you just create the files and we'll jump in on an order together. And I did that for washi tape as well for a while. And then people were ordering so much and I was like getting all of the shipped, and then I was having to reship it. And so finally I just thought, okay, I love talking to people and I love like human, just the interactions and the back and forth and the spontaneous conversation. And so I decided to just try a small group and see what would happen. And the focus was tea towels. And the group was called Manufacture Awesome. And it was a 2-month segment of time that we met biweekly. And the first week, we would kind of walk through how to create artboards and like what to do with your artwork. And then the second one was diving into using Alibaba.com and how I use the platform and things to ask manufacturers and asking for samples. And then we walk through wholesale and then direct to customer and then like what to do with your samples and like next steps after you've received them. And it was so fun. I mean, it was just, sounds fun. It was amazing. Like it was great. And I did that for 3 or 4 rounds. And then I started to see, like, I love that element and I'm still trying to figure out how I can implement that somewhere this year. But I just saw the space that I was like, I could record this section on Alibaba and it would affect more people. It would help more people just like go straight to the punch and be like, here's what you got to do. Go from point A to point B. And if you want to still talk to me, send me a DM and I'm happy to entertain the conversation. And then it just went from there and that's been really fun, but I've been collaborating with other artists to do like live boot camps and still really love the live component.
Yeah. The live component is so great, mm-hmm. but after a while I can see like the appeal of like record and put it there because we're creatives and sometimes I feel like it can be very draining to show up. Again and again, it's so fun and it's exciting. It's kind of exhilarating. You come off of a live and you're like, yeah, and everyone liked it and it's fun. But at the same time, you're like I need a nap now.
Yeah.
I can see that. And when you're doing kind of the same, anything that feels like you're saying it again and again and again.
Yeah. And I think that was the point. That's a very good point because after the 4th round, I was like, okay, I am saying this. This is the same thing. And I don't want to sound like an elevator pitch. You know, I want to just be like, this is natural. And I want to just have this moving, fluid conversation. And so, the filmed element made sense for that place.
Well, that's cool. So you started out putting a course on Skillshare and then you moved it over to your own platform. Or are you just on Skillshare?
Well, actually, this week I'm going to re-record it so it can go on my own platform.
Oh, good.
because now I'm just building that out. And yeah, but it's been on Skillshare for like 3 or 4 years. And I am not a top Skillshare teacher by any means. Every month I get like $15 and I'm like, yeah, this is a score. Someone watch my class. So it's a good start.
But yeah, I love that because it's not what it's about, right? And I think mm-hmm. that when we get out there, I think it's because you see others kind of going through something you went through and mm-hmm. you want to help and make it a little bit easier and more fun because you get to do it all together.
Yeah, totally.
So what is on? So you have a lot kind of going on. You have these few different kind of paths mm-hmm. that you're nurturing throughout the year.
Yeah.
What does the next, like, what does the future look like for you? Just kind of continuing on those three paths?
Yeah, I'm trying to, like I said, I'm doing some deep analyzing of what's working. But yeah, education has been really fun. So I am hosting a boot camp in May that's on the docket, all about sourcing domestically. And then it's going to be like a product push in July for like holiday products. And fall is just kind of this interesting, there's space, but then it's like fall, you know, like with education, you really have to look at when you're doing things and people are kind of getting back into school mode. And so I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I'm still kind of envisioning, I'm creating a mood board around the future right now.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah.
What I like to ask as well is, you know, there's so many designers in so many different areas that listen, even in my world in fashion, I think that it's very important to like have one area that you focus on and build first before you mm-hmm. add on to it, because otherwise I think we just feel overwhelmed and nothing really lands. Mm-hmm. But it's important to have a couple different areas where we're generating income too, because it kind of takes a lot to make it all work, right?
Yeah.
So for anyone listening, what would be your best bit of advice for somebody who is maybe interested in adding product to their kind of offer?
Yeah. Look at the numbers. Mm-hmm. Always. Just to make sure, like, it jumping into wholesale is a whole other beast, but you can also kind of control your growth. It's not going to be this overnight, like, here you go, you're getting thousands, you know, unless you have an incredible following on social media, which was not my case. So, but just making sure that the numbers make sense and that you're going to make profit would be number one. And then looking at where you're going to store your inventory and what kind of product you're getting. And then always get a sample for sure.
Yeah, I would imagine that like quality control piece is really important if you're going to be buying a bunch of inventory that you're then shipping out to clients.
Yeah.
Do you do the fulfillment yourself?
I do.
To the people who order? That's awesome.
Yeah, I do. I have, in the last couple of years, I've hired a VA who helps me with outreach, and that's been the best money spent ever. Callan is a dream. But I still have, like, I do it all in my home. Like, it's all right here in this room behind me. So I haven't felt like I needed someone to come into my house yet to help. And we live in the sticks. So I don't know yet about that.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with me. I love learning about all the things that you're doing right now. And for anyone who wants to follow along your journey, learn more about working with you or following along to take a peek at what you're doing in the coming year, where can they find you?
Well, I'm pretty active on Instagram at Rebecca_Jane_Woolbright. And then if you're interested in the product side of my business, it's at RebeccaJaneWoolbright.com. And if you're interested in the education side, it's at ManufactureAwesome.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on. It was really nice chatting with you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Print Life Podcast. If you're a surface pattern designer who's interested in learning how to design, market, and sell your prints in the fashion industry, I'd love to work with you. Head over to lesliekinahan.com to learn more about how you can get started today. See you next time.